Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from everyday office etiquette, bullying, to handling pet peeves. Also, we remind you to initiate acts of kindness. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here is your host, communication and socialization expert, speaker, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and I am so glad you are joining us on this evening. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2016, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta. This evening's topic is Back to School Etiquette Part 3. So stay tuned. Well, once again, welcome to each of you this evening. Of course, the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway? So we'd like to always begin by answering that question. Etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. I don't know if that's what you want, but I certainly know that is what I want. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, I want to welcome our new listeners and our return listeners alike. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday evening to join us. If you've been following us over the last few weeks, we are in the midst of our Back to School Etiquette series. We've talked about how parents can participate in their child's education. We've also talked about school etiquette, what's basically expected of the students as far as when they come to school, on the bus, in the media center, so on and so forth. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest this evening. She is Educator and Teacher of the Year, Ms. Shay Earls. Shay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Happy Sunday to you.
Sunday.
Thank you. Well, wow, so school is back in session, and I think I may be getting a little feedback. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or not quite sure, but I'll give you time to see if we can make an adjustment for that to make sure that our audience is going to be able to hear us without any type of interference. Okay, so how's your back to school going so far?
It's actually going pretty well. I feel completely adjusted. We started school the second week of August. So I've had about almost 2 months, it feels like, to get adjusted. So now I feel like I'm back into the groove and ready to get this year going.
Wonderful. And I know generally, as I reminded the audience, we normally start our back to school series in August, but this time we gave all the school systems around the country an opportunity to start back before we actually started making comments and started our series. So we're excited, certainly, to have you on the show. Every time, of course, we shoot out our promo for the show, we always, either people will call or they'll send us emails. And, of course, today it's no different, and we will get to those momentarily. And I think I'm still getting feedback. I'm not quite sure where that is coming from. I don't know if it's our line, studio line here or not, but hopefully everyone is going to be able to hear okay. So, Shay, if you would, what are some of the things we're talking about ensuring, or at least trying to help to ensure a successful school year? And I know you have some tips that you would like to give, and I just would like to know where you would like to begin. I know we have a lot of parents tuning in and listening to the show, and so just kind of let me know where you think you would like to start now that, you know, everybody's sort of back in the groove, of course. And you mentioned a couple months also, in addition, that the students should be back in the mood. And I think I'm getting some feedback from Shay. Are you on a speaker or?
No, I'm just on my cell phone.
Okay, I'm not sure where the feedback is coming from. It could be coming from our studio line, but I'm hoping that it's not going to, you know, keep our audience from being able to hear, because I know you have some great information lined up. But go right ahead. What would you like to, what's a good place to start, do you think?
As far as the tips for success?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most important tips, the first tip, it seems pretty basic, but I think one of the first tips would be to ensure that the students are getting enough sleep every night. I think, I would say on average, beginning with at least 8 to 10 hours would be enough, but I just noticed that students who are tired are more cranky, they're disengaged, and they're more likely to find themselves in trouble. So we want to make sure that the students are well-rested. This could mean turning off the TV at night, putting away the video games, whatever it is that is keeping the students up too late. We just want to eliminate that as much as possible to make sure that they're getting the rest that they need.
Oh, that's great information. So, and like you said, probably by now, hopefully, you know, they've gotten adjusted. I know at the beginning of the school year, oftentimes they're used to staying up all hours of the night over the summer, and so hopefully they're getting adjusted back. But that's great information. What else do you think would be great?
I also think eating a balanced diet is very important. Many students come to school with snacks that are extremely sugary, or they're not eating vegetables. So just making sure that they're eating the right types of food, even if that means we have to replace some of their snacks a few times a week with a piece of fruit, or giving them water instead of soda or juice. I think those are very important ways, because the sugary foods can definitely lead to the students being sluggish and tired as well.
That's really good information. And a lot of times we don't hear that. A lot of times, you know, when you're talking about snacks, a lot of times the choices seem to be the snacks that the children want, not necessarily
right.
snacks that they really need. So that's really good. And especially with you saying that the sleep, if they're, you know, deprived of sleep and then they're given, you know, one of these sugary snacks with caffeine in it to kind of wake them up, then, you know, what happens after they eat that and they're deprived of sleep? So they probably, what, they hit a high and then they hit a low.
And then they crash, yep. And you'll notice it, especially around the afternoon, many students crash, and it's hard for them to focus for the rest of the day.
Very interesting. Very good information. And I'm pretty sure we can take this diet thing away when you're looking at, you know, some children that may have some issues with behavior. And oftentimes that could be related to diet as well, right? Very interesting. Okay, hello? Oh, I think we dropped for some reason. I think we do apologize. Shay, if you can hear me, if you can try and call back in, I think we might be having just a few problems here. We apologize for the technical difficulty, and we'll see if we can get her back here. Shay, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. We kind of momentarily lost you for a moment. We may think we're having some technical issues on the back end of the studio, but what I was saying is that I'm sure diet does play a real important role. I think the last comment I made is that oftentimes behavior or acting out is definitely related or can be related to diet as well, right?
Yes, I definitely agree. Yes.
So some of the children who might be acting out or they may be considered hyperactive or something like that may be just consuming too much sugar.
Right, exactly.
That is very good information. I had right here, I'm looking at a couple different emails. I'm going to jump to one of the emails. This one actually, this is Etiquette Lady and Guest. Thanks for your show. My children's bedtime is 8 p.m., but often they don't go to sleep for a while. They want to stay up longer. Should I let them stay up until they fall asleep? And this is a single parent in Marietta. Well, wow. What do you think about that, Shay?
I definitely think making sure that they get the sleep that they need is important. And so I'm thinking that if we could probably get those children in a routine that would get them a little bit closer to getting some sleep earlier. So this could mean having a bath, reading a few books, like trying to eliminate all of the distractions that is keeping them awake, just to try to get them to sleep as early as you possibly can. I think 8 o'clock is a great time to go to sleep, and I definitely understand children want us to stay up longer. But I think if you're able to stick to that 8 o'clock time and kind of ease them into that, eventually you may see that they go to sleep on their own at 8 o'clock without any extra things that you feel you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're not real sure of, she did not say, you know, what their ages are. I'm assuming they are certainly elementary school age. But even, I'm going to ask you, Shay, what do you think about this? I mean, even older students, I would think, too, they need to have quite a bit of sleep as well. What do you think? Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I've actually read before that students, especially teenagers, they get to a point where they begin to need as much sleep as they needed when they were toddlers or younger kids. So I think the sleep is important for everyone.
That's really good. So those of you that are listening, and we do have a lot of teenagers also that listen to our show, that means you all need to go to sleep too. Stop going to bed at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning and getting up at 6 or 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So really, really important. And so what else, what other tips do you, would you like to share as well? And in case you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. This is Back to School Etiquette Part 3. We are speaking with an elementary educator, Shay Earle, who is also Teacher of the Year as well. And so she's given us some great information about how to ensure a successful school year this year. So certainly you want to tweet or forward or email and let people know that we are on having this conversation. Also, you can feel free to join the conversation if you'd like. That number is 347-324-3295, or you may email us, as some of you already have done, etiquetteladiesplural@gmail.com. Okay. So what else? We've talked about sleep. We've talked about diet, getting rid of the sugary snacks, and I'm sure that the kids that are listening are thinking, oh, man, why did she say that?
So,
what are some other things do you think would
think,
help?
Another important tip would be for parents and family members to engage in rich conversations with students. I've learned that when students are exposed to conversation with adults where they are using complex vocabulary or they're hearing just the structure of how a conversation goes, it makes them better readers, it makes them better writers, and then it also just makes them better thinkers. And then all of those things are important because it's tied to having strong literacy skills. I've also noticed that students who have great communication skills from just being able to, like, have conversations with their parents are also more confident. So they have better socialization at school. They're able to make friends. They're able to solve problems with their peers. So just engaging in conversations with your children, it can lead to lots of great things in school.
Interesting. Now, I'm going to say this because we know that I know when I was growing up, usually during, say, dinner time was a time where, you know, we sat together and had dinner and we communicated like you were talking about. Nowadays, you know, with the technology, oh, my goodness, I see one more person with their technology out while they're eating dinner. I'm just going to have a sit. But I think what's so important, parents, I'm not trying to tell you what to do or anything, but when you have your children, especially when you guys are at least having a meal or something, you know, I'm going to suggest banning the electronics because during that time, and what you just said, Shay, was to communicate. And, you know, many times you have, you know, you might have mom or dad sitting at the table with the children and everybody's on their different devices. I know I've been out in restaurants, and I've seen that. And I'm like, this is just amazing. This is crazy. You know, how do you teach, you know, children, especially how to communicate? And what's kind of sad is that oftentimes talking about communicating, when they're texting and things of that nature, of course, you know, there are different little text codes or whatever. And then sometimes I've seen children when it's time to write, they write like they text.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely, that's not a good thing because a lot of the words that you are, you know, you're the letters, if you will, you're substituting. When you go to write that word out, that word is not going to be written like it's text. So there's a problem. There's a breakdown in written communication right there. So you're suggesting that at least, you know, you don't know how social your children are if you're not talking to them. I mean,
exactly.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it definitely, technology has definitely changed the way families communicate now. So I know that plays a major part in it, but if we can, just making sure that we're having conversations with the children every day, I think that would be very beneficial.
Yeah, and I bet some people are going, oh, man, I mean, you know, I can't put down my phone. You mean I need to, oh, man. I remember also when we were smaller, too, even if the phone rang and we were all sitting down having dinner, we couldn't answer the phone. I mean, that was dinner time. You know, we had a voicemail or answering machine. And so, you know, they leave the message and then you would go on. And So it's just amazing. I remember I was on one show, and it was a TV show I was being interviewed on, and the host had said to me, she said, you know what? She said, what happens when you have parents in the household and the child is like either upstairs or in the next room, and the parent is either calling them on the phone or texting them saying dinner is ready. You're like, what? Something is wrong with that picture. So, you know, those of you listening, I know you're probably saying, God, boy, they're the bearer of bad news today. No, it's not bad news today. It's trying to get everybody to, you know, to find it, kind of socialize a little bit and to know, can you actually speak? You know,
right.
Because with the texting and all this tweeting and all this other stuff, it just kind of, you know, it detracts from actual communication, which means talking. So we're going to stick a pin in that for a second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you signed up for the Public Speaking Club yet?
Public Speaking Club? What's that?
It's the club Miss Riley teaches. You learn to speak comfortably in front of others, how to make introductions, how to introduce your parent to a friend, meetings, greetings. In fact, you learn numerous public speaking tips. Some of my favorite topics include impromptu speaking, how to have great posture and poise, and a lot more. And you learn how to have great social skills, all while gaining more self-esteem and confidence. It's so much fun.
As a parent, I know that academic skills coupled with social skills help make a child well-rounded. That's why I enrolled my children. They volunteer to speak at every opportunity. Their teachers brag on them all the time.
Wow. I'm too short to raise my hand in class, and I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I want to join this public speaking club. I'll ask my mom.
Say goodbye to being shy. Sign up today for the Public Speaking Club at www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, the website is www.pagesetiquette.com. Hurry, avoid the waiting list. This club fills up quickly. www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us at 347-324-3295. Now back to the show.
Okay, in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. We're in part three of our Back to School Etiquette series. We're speaking with Teacher of the Year, Shay Earle. She's giving us some great information on how to ensure a successful school year. Okay, so far we've been talking about getting adequate rest. We've talked about a diet. I'm going to jump to this email. It says, Etiquette Lady, great job on your show. My children exceed in academics but are socially lacking. What can I do to help? They are homeschooled. Thanks. And this comes from G. Brown in Dayton, Ohio. Thank you for sending that. And that's basically sort of what we've been talking about, the social skills. What do you think about that, Shay? It's so important, you know, for, and you just mentioned it, for, you know, children to have social skills. Academic skills are great, but a well-rounded child has to have a combination of academic as well as social skills. So what would you advise Ms. Brown there? Well, Ms. or Mr. Brown, it's just G. Brown from Dayton, Ohio.
I think that was a really great question. I agree that a big part of school is the socialization. So as homeschooled children, it would definitely look different. I've heard of programs where homeschooled children are allowed to engage in the outside activities that schools provide. So that could be sports, that could be a drama club, that could be the chorus. maybe finding a connection with an actual school or an organization where the children can have a chance to be with others, children their age, and have conversations and make friends and do things like that. Maybe joining the gym or the YMCA and just trying to get the students or the children socializing with other children their age. I think that would be a great way to bring up those socialization skills that she may think that they are lacking.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's very, very important. And, of course, what you said a moment ago as well is talking to your children.
Exactly.
Making sure that there's, you know, conversation time at home. I'm going to go to the phone. Let's see. Extension 4999. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling. What is etiquette anyway? Hello. Okay. All right. They could just be listening. So I will. We'll move right on.
Right on.
Okay, so I have one that says, "Dear Etiquette Lady, my family and I have been listening to your show for 4 years, and thanks for the info you have each week. I have twin daughters who are in the second grade. One reads much better than the other. It seems like the teacher pays more attention to the one who reads better because my other daughter cries and says she wished she could read better. I'm not sure how to handle this. What do you think?" And this comes from Shelley from Baltimore. Thank you, Shelley, for sharing that. So obviously, Shay, they must be in the same class. I know
that's
some schools
right.
Try to avoid that. Yeah, try to avoid that. But what do you think? I know as a teacher, you know, you kind of have to be careful how, and as a parent as well, because sometimes parents will compare their children to each other. What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely think it's a unique situation because they do usually try to keep siblings out of the same classroom. But if it seems like the struggling reader is frustrated with school, frustrated with reading, so I'm not exactly sure. Maybe if the parent talks to the teachers and the teacher and see what she has tried with the child just to try to get her interested in reading, because many times students who are struggling with reading, they begin to just disengage from the process entirely. Frustration can show in different ways. So for this child, it seems like he'll cry. Other students will misbehave. So there are different ways that students show that they're frustrated. So just trying to figure out what strategies the teacher is trying to use with the student, and then maybe working together, the parent and the teacher, to come up with other strategies to make sure that she is getting the support that she needs. And then, again, you mentioned about making sure that the teacher is not comparing her to her sister. And that will also be a great way to try to build her confidence.
And that's great information. And I am all about the self-esteem and confidence building as well. What I would do is, in addition to that, is I would talk about, you know, the other gifts and talents. Because, you know, when you have two twins or siblings or whoever the case is, they're going to exceed in different areas. So one may have, you know, gifts and abilities for reading. The other may be, you know, very artistic. And so just be, you know, very creative. So it's just so important to, you know, determine and define those particular gifts and talents of those children. And then, you know, let them know, okay, you may not feel as though you can read as well as your sister, but there's some things that your sister may feel that she doesn't do as well as you. So then at that point, you know, once you kind of define those, then they can start helping and mentoring each other. And that's just kind of building a circle of the self-esteem and confidence. And that is so important. And even, you know, as a note to parents, because, you know, sometimes I've even heard parents say, "Oh, well, Joshua's not as smart as Olivia,
right.
And I wish, you know, I wish He was, but he's not. But that, you know, we want to really refrain from saying things like that, because those are things that can really, you know, wound and crush the spirit and the self-confidence of our children. And I believe that most parents don't mean any harm when they're saying that, and they may feel that that's the truth, they're speaking the truth. But you want to be very, very careful, you know, in what you say to your children, because your children, basically, you know, you're their first role model. And it's so important that we continue to encourage and to build up, you know, our children, and to enhance their self-esteem, you know, any way that we can. So that's really important. And in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about back-to-school etiquette and how you can be successful throughout the school year. And we're certainly hoping that everyone is having a great school year so far. And Shay has talked about, she's given us tips so far about sleep, making sure that your children are receiving the adequate amount of sleep, talking about diet, taking some of those sugary snacks away. They're probably going to pout, but it's okay. And then having actual conversation. You know, this we have in this time of social media and, brother. Anyway, Shay, what else? What else? You can tell I'm passionate about, you know, having conversations with families, and that, I mean, social media has its place. Don't get me wrong, it really does. But we don't want it to take the place of face-to-face contact and face-to-face communication. That will always be so very important. So what else do you think will kind of attribute to one being a little more successful?
So this definitely ties in with the last email that you read. So my next tip is just to read. Read with your child, read to your child, have your child read to you. This is very important. And right now, our schools, lots of schools are having major literacy issues, but it can definitely be alleviated if more students are reading at home. So reading is not just a school thing. Even if the parents are not avid readers, if you try to set an example for your child and model for them, you could get more students reading. I would also suggest that parents don't use reading as a punishment. I've had a few parents talk to me about, you know, when their child gets in trouble, they'll make them go read. But if we make it a punishment, then it'll lead more students to dislike reading. And we want to try to make it as enjoyable as possible. I mean, we don't want reading to have a negative impact on the child.
Wow. That is major. Wow. That is so interesting, because when you hear someone say, well, you're going to take a time out. Go to your room and read. Wow.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
That's really good. Wow. And I'm sure parents are thinking, have I tried that before? That is amazing. And audience, we always tell you week after week that this show, we aim to inform and educate. And when you hear great tips like that, and that's a tweetable moment, how about that? Tweet that out, guys. Tweet that out. Do not use reading as a punishment. Oh, that's really good. And I think I've heard people say, oh, little Johnny got in trouble, so I made him come in and read the whole book.
Yeah.
Does little Johnny like reading? No, little Johnny hates reading. Oh,
and that's
probably
usually
why.
The case. Yep. Children. Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay, great information once again. And in case you all have joined us late, no problem. Each of our shows archive, and so you'll be able to go back and listen to the full show in its entirety, and you'll certainly want to do that as well. So we talked about sleeping, we talked about diet, we talked about conversation. What about exercising, do you think? I know a lot of the schools now, there's no PE or very limited PE, or what do you think about that? Well, how does that play a role, do you think?
Well, most schools, well, I can't say most, but many schools now do have PE, but schools have lost recess time. So many schools have lost the opportunity for students to have free play where they're running around with their friends, playing games, things like that. So I definitely believe exercise is very important. We're seeing increased obesity rates in children, and it's starting extremely early. That can definitely be tied to the lack of recess that we have, and also be tied, again, to the technology that we were talking about earlier, where kids are more likely to be playing a video game or using their iPad or whatever the technology things that they have. So exercise is definitely important. It makes students feel great when they do great, when they feel great, and all of those great things that come along with exercise.
And I think, too, I mean, I know there's, you know, the iPad and the tablet and all of that, but I just personally don't think anything really compares to just a real book. Sitting down, the feel of the book, seeing the book, the cover, that's just me personally. What do you think about that? I know there's so many different options for children to read on so many different devices, but it's just something about the look and the feel of a book. What do you think?
I think the e-books and the Kindles and the iPads, they have a place. I think learning early out from the beginning, I think students probably will do better using a book that is in print. But there are times where it may be more convenient or easier to have books on a Kindle or on an iPad or to read online.
Just so that they're reading, that they're reading.
Right.
And remember, audience, do not use reading as a punishment. Okay? That's really good. And so are there any other specific points that you would like the audience to?
I have one more tip. So my final tip is for parents to be involved. So involvement looks different for different families. For some families, this may mean that they're able to join the PTA and the PTO. Others may be able to help with school or classroom initiatives. Some families may only have time to send in box tops or attend one or two parent conferences throughout the year. But I think whatever involvement looks like for you, I think the most important point is that your child feels supported and that your child's teacher feels supported and feels like they can reach out to you. Because parents are definitely key when it comes to student success, especially for elementary school students.
Great information. Very good information. Wow. So, and I know we talked a little bit about it on my guest I had on last week. I know we talked quite a bit about parent involvement, and I remember mentioning last week that when you can, the first PTA or PTO or PTSA, whatever that particular district refers to it as, when you have the first meeting, the elementary school, if you get there late, you probably certainly won't get a good parking spot. But, you know, as you get to the middle school level, you get there on time, you might have a few good spots there. And when you get to the point where it's high school level, you can come 15 minutes late and you can probably pull up right in front of the door. Something's wrong with that. And, you know, we talked about making sure that you continue to be involved, you know, through elementary school, through middle school, through high school as well, even though your high schoolers or teenagers will tell you, oh, you don't need to come. I've got this. I'm okay. I don't need to see you and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that nothing. Don't take it personal. Just go anyway. And like you were saying, Shay, just involve yourself the best way you can. And do you feel that if you have some students in your classroom and say you're in April, almost at the end of the school year, how do you feel if you've never met some of your parents ever of some of your students?
That actually happens. It's a little more common than people would think. Some parents, I may have talked to them, or we may have exchanged a text or an email. And there are some parents who I've never have been able to contact, or I've never seen. So it actually happens more often than it should. But it's definitely frustrating, especially if it's a student that needs more support. And usually it ends up being those students. The students who I'm unable to contact or I've never met their parent is usually a student who needs that extra support.
And so please go and meet your teachers and keep an open line of communication with your teacher, because it really does take a village. So important. Well, once again, we have been speaking with the dynamic Shay Earle, Teacher of the Year, and congratulations to you again for that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for the great information that you shared. And parents, please take advantage of the information. And for, you know, your friends or other parents who may not have had an opportunity to listen to the show, please, it's all about sharing information. That is just so very important. And thanks again for supporting our show. Those of you that listen each week, that you send us messages, thank you so much. And of course, those of you who may be joining us for the first time, the ones who tune in each week, we're so glad that you're part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. If you have an etiquette question or a topic that you would like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know, and we will see what we can do to be able to cover that particular topic. And again, tell your friends, tell your family, and invite them to listen. Our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can only do that one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That's one of my favorite proverbs. It comes from Proverbs 3:3. And also, please be sure to initiate an act of kindness each week, at least one act of kindness. It'd be great to initiate an act of kindness every day, okay? Please join us. We will wrap up our series on next week. We'll have Dr. Tom Keating with Project Clean. He's going to tell us about some wellness policies around the nation. So please join us on next week for that. Once again, Shay, thank you so much for joining us and for the great information that you
thank
have given
you
us today.
Me.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And thank you again, everyone, for tuning in. Good night. Take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we'll discuss another exciting topic.